The pasuk says, "Va'ato kisvu lechem es hashira hazois." The pasuk says in Parshas Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yutes, "Va'ato kisvu lechem es hashira hazois, v'lamdo es bnei Yisrael." Write down this shira hazois v'lamdo es bnei Yisrael and teach it to bnei Yisrael. Now, to shine what Shira Hazois means, some people say it means Parshas Nisovim. According to most Mepharshim, it means Chol HaTorah Kulo. There's a mitzvah deraisa to write a Sefer Torah. The shaila is, why is it called, number one, why is it called a Shira? Why is it called a Shira? Why is it called a song? Why do you call a Torah a song? Secondly, it's brought down in the halacha. The Rama brings it, the Zechinuch brings it, that there's a chiyuv on every individual to write a Sefer Torah for themselves. Va'afilu, even if a father has a Sefer Torah, there's a chiyuv for the child to write a new Sefer Torah. Why is there a chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah for yourself? Why isn't there a halacha that if my father wrote one, and now I have it as a Yerusha, I'm potter, and now I have the Torah in front of me? Why do I have to write for Sefer Torah? So Yaakov Naiman says something very beautiful in Darkim Musa. He says one pshat, he says that a song is something that I sing from my heart. A song is something that I sing with feeling. The Torah is called the Shira because Torah has to be sung with feeling. Torah has to be learned with feeling. Tosis cannot be learned with a cold intellectual understanding. I never could understand how a person gives shir, a Gemara shir or a Halacha shir, or you know, relaxed and quiet. And you should be jumping unless a person's got it's rent, it burns in you. So you got to feel it. You got to manage and feel Torah. A Shira Hazois. Torah has got to be something which is your song. It's got to be something that you feel. It's your tune. The Torah is playing your tune. Kisvu lechem is a Shira Hazois. If my father had his Sefer Torah, that's my father's. That's my father's. It's nothing to do with me. And therefore the Torah says that a person has to write down a Sefer Torah for himself in order that he should feel that it's his song. That it's what he chose. That's what he wants to do. Not because his father does it. Because that's what he wants to do in Klal Yisrael. That's what he wants to do in Yiddishkeit. That's what he wants to follow. Those are the mitzvahs he wants to do. That's the life he wants to practice. Torah is a song in as much that it's something that connects to you. Something that makes you feel it and makes you enjoy it. That's Shira Hazois. And therefore, just because your father enjoyed it, doesn't mean I have anything to do with it. And therefore, you've got to write your own Sefer Torah, make it your own song. That's his picture.
So,
the
Maestro never writes the Sefer Torah, so that doesn't mean that the fire is not burning anymore.
Sorry?
No one writes a Sefer Torah.
It's a mitzvah because they don't have money. So, we're honest. Once a person has money, enough to buy a Sefer Torah, you've got to write your own Sefer Torah. Mitzvah deraisa.
Yeah.
For sure? Nachalulib and Esrog, the Chiyu to write Sefer Torah.
What's getting that money?
$30,000, but.
But other than what? I'm laughing.
You're Mechuyu to write a Sefer Torah. Once you have enough money to live on, and you know, you're not Mechuyu to go into debt over it, but a person has enough money, Mechuyu to write a Sefer Torah.
Doesn't one Mekayim this just by writing one letter?
You're Mekayim a part of the mitzvah by writing a part of a Sefer Torah. But it's a Chiyu to write so the person should have their own Sefer Torah. Some people say so that the inyan of it by buying sforim, regular sforim, very nice. But that's not the mitzvah, the real mitzvah of the Torah. I'm not going into Hilchos Sefer Torah here, but I'm going into the idea behind it. I have another thought, something else that I feel two other understandings why it's called Shira. Number one, if everybody speaks together and everybody talks at the same time, you don't hear anything. In fact, one person disturbs the other person. If you do something in a melody, if you chant something or sing something together, not only does it not disturb, it actually makes it look very, feel and sound very beautiful. If you have a choir and everyone's together singing the same song, one person singing by himself is very nice, but the choir behind it makes it sound that much more beautiful. The idea when a Torah is called a song is to appreciate that a person doing a mitzvah by themselves is nice. But the more people in being involved in mitzvahs, the more people fulfilling mitzvahs, the more people I see are involved in mitzvahs, the more beautiful the song becomes. The more beautiful and enjoyable it becomes to involve more Klal Yisrael into mitzvahs. That's why it's called the song. And the idea behind it is as well that a song doesn't necessarily have to be sung in the same pitch. You get some people with very, very low voices, and some people with very high voices. But as long as they're singing the same song, it's beautiful. That's what we have to understand. Yiddishkeit does not have to be that everyone's doing exactly the same thing. You get people with very low voices and very high voices. Some people that are very down to earth, some people are soaring into the skies. But as long as they're singing the same tune, that is beautiful. That is Torah. And that's why it's called Shira. Shira is an appreciation of song, of music. A music, everybody has a part. Everybody's essence is the same as long as it's the same melody. There is a very, very fascinating Gemara. And when I learned the Gemara, I taught this in Shira, and I learned this Gemara, I'm not sure whether you asked it, but certainly it's a question that should have been asked. There's a famous piece in Yeshua brought down the Gemara Sanhedrin Mem Daled Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Vayehi b'yoyis Yeshua b'Yerichoi." Yeshua was in Yerichoi, and he just finished the Milchama. "Vayisa einov vayar," and he picked up his eyes and he saw. He saw a person coming towards him with a chalboi shlufid biyadoi, with a sword outstretched. Vayoymen, and he said to him, "Are you? What are you?" Vayoymen, he says, "Loi, kanisat zva Hashem, atabasi. I am the sat zva Hashem. I've come for now." Now the whole discussion what that means. The Gemara says there's two reasons why. The Malach says, Yeshua said to him, "What are you? Are you an enemy, a friend or foe?" And he says, "I'm neither. I'm a Malach of Hashem. I've come for Atta Ba'asi." So the Gemara asks, what does it mean Atta Ba'asi? Omalei, so the Malach said to him, "There are two things that you did wrong. Amesh, b'taltem Tomash ben Arbaim. In the evening, you did not bring, yesterday, in the evening, you did not bring Tomash ben Arbaim. Va'achshav betaltem Talmud Torah. And now, you've been mevatel Talmud Torah." And these two have come. So Yeshua said to him, Al Ezer Mehem Bosa, on which one have you come really to kill me for? Omalei Ato Bosi. I come for Ato Bosi, I come for now, Ato Bosi. Miyad, immediately, Vayolen Yeshua Balaila Hahu Betoicha Emek. Yeshua dwelt that night Betoicha Emek, and the Morah said Betoich Umkushel Halacha, within Emek, in the depth of Halacha. So the Gemara, this is the Gemara brought down in Megiddo as well, Daf Gimel on the base. And Tosfos says two Peshtim over here. You have Gemara here? Megiddo? The Gemara says, "Ata ba'asi," said Tosis, "Pirushivon al Talmud Torah ba'asi, dechsev va'ato kisvul lechem et hashira hazois." I've come for Ata ba'asi, like it says, "Va'ato kisvul lechem et hashira hazois." Our pasuk over here. But there is a discussion. The Gemara says, did you come for now? Did he come for now? For Torah Tziva Lono Moshe? So he says, no, Ata Ba'asi. Which means, when Yeshua says, Halono Ata Oilet Serenu, are you Halona Ato Oilet Serenu? Are you Halona Ato? Are you with us or our enemies? It taich according to Drush. Halonu Ato means, have you come for Torah Tziva Lonu? Did you come for Torah Tziva Lonu Moshe? Is that why you came? So the Malach says, no, I didn't come for Torah Tziva Lonu. I came for Ato Ba'asi Shira Hazois. What's going on here? Which means they're both referring to Talmud Torah. Yeshua says, I realize I never learned. Did he come for Torah Tzivu Lanu Moshe? Says the Malach, no. I came for Atu Ba'ofi. I came for now of Atu Kisu Lechem Shira Hazois. What's the argument over here? Says Rishmul Rizovsky, Rosh Hashiva of Ponovich. He said this at the Levaya of the Ponovich Herov, Zeka Tzadik Libracha. He says, there's a difference between the two Pesukim. Torah Tzivu Lanu Moshe was what Yeshua understood what was his chiv at that time. There's a chiv to learn Torah. Torah Tzivu Lanu Moshe is a chiv, there's a command to learn Torah. Says Yeshua to the Malach, what do you want from me? I was fighting the whole night. How can you expect me to learn Torah? I'm at war. I'm resting now. What do you want from me? You're coming now for time as a Torah Tzivu Lanu Moshe? I'm tired. Said the Malach, no, I'm not coming to Torah Tzivu Lanu Moshe. I'm coming for Ato Ba'osi. Ato Kisvu Lechem Tashira Hazois. Who says you're talking about Tzivuyim here? Who's talking about commands over here? Who says what you have to do, what you don't have to do? My Taina, my claim against you is that you're not learning, that you're not considering Torah as a Shira Hazois. A song you sing whether you're tired or whether you're not tired. A song you sing because it's geshmak, because it's enjoyable. Whether you believe to learn Torah or not, I'm not discussing with you. What I'm killing you for, the Charav Shvutei B'Yodei was the fact that you can excuse yourself because you're tired from learning. What do you mean? Torah is a song, Torah is enjoyable, you don't excuse yourself from enjoyment. Why don't you enjoy Torah enough that even when you're tired and exhausted you don't learn Torah? That's what I'm coming to kill you for. Ato Ba'asi. For the Tzivu Yepata, Ato Ba'asi Yechayev. Kisvu Lechem Tashira Hazois means that Torah is supposed to be a song. And if you don't enjoy it, there's something wrong with your taste. You've got it wrong. When it comes to Shemayim, Olam Haba is going to be a big room with your favorite Rosh Hashiva and the darshaning hours and hours and hours and hours of most geshmak sugya. And a person who's got his taste buds, who enjoys the music of Torah, is going to sit there and enjoy it. And a person who isn't is going to be looking at his watch every few minutes. How long? When does this finish? My friend, it's here for good. Eternity. Rabbi Vigmir used to say, get to like learning, friends. And that is again, it's the same thing. The people who enjoy and got a taste buds for learning, it's the greatest kishmak. And Moshe Rabbeinu teaching us Torah. And the guy doesn't know, it goes on forever and ever doesn't know what's going on, he doesn't enjoy it. That is Gehenna. The Gehenna and Gan Eden can be the same thing. Ato Ba'asi, the reason why I am killing you is not because I'm killing you because you have a tzivu, I'm killing you because you never enjoyed it. That's Peshat and the Shira Azois. And I give you a story. I've got a few stories today. But I give you one story, very powerful. The reason why I say story is not because I'm here to entertain you. I believe that a story is more than 1,000 words. How long is a story shorter than 1,000 words? But this story is very powerful. There's a story here of a... of the Rav, Reb Aaron, the Tabrika Rav. He's a Rav of Tabrika. It's a village in Litter. And during the First World War, the border of Russia and Germany was basically along the line of Tabrika. Sometimes belonged to Germany, some belonged to Russia. They're fighting backwards and forwards along, that was the frontier. And the German soldiers, the Russian soldiers, they put out a blackout and a curfew of the whole city because they didn't want the Germans to see where the city was and to fire at them. And the whole city was dark besides one window. And they saw this window, and in that window the light was on, the flame was burning, and then that lit up the whole area. And they look through the window and they see this rabbi learning. And they burst into his house. And they said, we're arresting you, and we're going to kill you immediately, execute you, because we are charging you for espionage. You're working for the Germans. So he knew what Russians are. Jews have been living with Russians long enough. He said, listen, if you kill me or not, that's up to you. There's nothing I can do about it. I haven't got a lawyer. There's nothing I can do. But do me a favour. I'm in the middle of a Rambam. I've got to finish this Rambam. Let me just finish this Rambam, then you can kill me. I'm a spy, I can deny it, it's going to help. Let me finish this Rambam, it's such a geschmacka piece, I've got to get this Rambam clear. So the Russians were shocked. Said, okay, we'll wait till you finish this Rambam. And he is going through the Rambam, concentrating on it, mamish, as if, you know, shining a simcha on his face. In the meantime, the German soldiers invaded the town. The Russians heard them come, and they ran out of town and escaped, and his life was saved. But the idea behind this, did he have a tzivui to learn the time when he's being charged for murder, within a few minutes he's going to be killed? Of course not. But it's Shira HaZois. It's our song. It's what we enjoy. It's not a chiv. Talmud Torah is not a chiv. It's not an obligation. That itself is a geschmack. If we don't understand it, we have timtum halev. We have rubbish on our heads. We have gashmis on our heads. We have tigers on our heads. We have terrible things on our heads. If you don't enjoy Torah, there's something wrong with us. Torah itself is geschmack. Torah itself is the words of Rebbein Shloilem. It's nitzris. It's chay olam hazen, chay olam habo. And if you don't enjoy it, nebuch. There's something wrong with us. By the way, every morning one doesn't enjoy Torah. People used to ask Reb Shach, when you open the Gemara in the morning, do you enjoy it? He says, no, I don't enjoy it. But once I horror in it, I go into it and I put myself into it, then I start enjoying it. Before you start learning, you don't enjoy it. But once you start working in it and really trying to understand it, that's when you start enjoying it. But then you start enjoying it.
What he says, though, you may see, you know, it's a natural part of every Ben Torah Zoran cycle. Sometimes you love it, sometimes you don't. There's nothing you can do about it.
No godel and no person who's a Ben Torah hates learning one day. You learn it, you like it more days, but sometimes you like it less. But the etzem sitting down and working through a piece of Gemara is geschmack. Unless a person has a tremendous amount of other things in his head that completely dull his senses of enjoyment for Torah.
What's Rabbi talking about? That's a
Meisina. Meisina means times when he finds it more difficult to learn and finds less geschmack. But he's going to find geschmack. You can break through your Meisina as well. It means naturally, has a natural tendency not to enjoy it as much some days as other days, but you can get over that as well. One puts oneself into it, one davens properly, one davens with Yatishmaya, Torah is Geschmack, Shira Hazos. The Pasuk says, in Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Yudches, the Pasuk says, V'hoyo b'shomo is divrei ha'ola hazois. And when a person will hear these curses brought down in the last parasha, the historic b'lvavoi lemo, and he will make himself blessed in his heart, saying, Sholom yeli, I'll be fine. Ki b'shriru slibi eilech. Because what I think in my heart, that's what I'll follow. Leman Svoy Sarovis at Smeo. Look in Rashi. That means, Rashi is from Pshatim. But what it means is that a person can go through and see terrible, terrible klolos. A person can see tragedy looming and say, I'm going to be fine. I'll be fine. Nothing to do with me. We mentioned last week that people don't feel Rosh Hashanah is because we're distant. And the more distant we are, the more we're the horses that don't realize they come into the border. And even people who do realize what's going on, I've got special protection with the Bein Shalem. Well, Hashem will deal with me, I'm okay. That is a terrible, that is a very, very scary thought. That's a person who thinks such a thing, anyone who thinks Kosh Baruch Hu just lets you off, Kosh Baruch Hu gets into the life and really just really gets to them, really punishes them. But it's more than that. Very often, I don't think I call this a Musa class. We're working through the parasha together. I'm not a person to give Musa. I'm actually not a person to give Musa. But people who give Musa, very often, what they're doing is, there's a certain person in the audience, in particular, they want to address. But you can't speak to a person and yell at him and give Musa shmuz, because it's not, a person generally has a feeling to, first of all, embarrassed, first of all, feels uncomfortable to give it, and the person doesn't take in when they're being criticized. So what you do is you give it over into a group, and hopefully that person will get the message. 99.999% of the times, it goes way over the guy's head. Yeah? There's one famous story, I think it was, I think Rav Chaskel Levenstein gave a shmooz, and he met one person, there's 500 people there. And he met one person in particular. And at the end of the shmooz, that fellow walked over to the Rav and to Rav Chaskel and said to them, you know, you really told them. You really gave it to them. A person who understands Musa, a person who understands and is interested in self-growth, is sensitive to what Rabbeinu Shalom tells them within the events of the day to day, and what people are telling and speaking about him, and how he can grow and change because of how he's being treated. Which means that if a person has a taina against another person, he has to take it very seriously. If a person has a complaint against him, he should take it very seriously. A person has a natural tendency to be on the defensive, and that way he gets through life. If a person has the edelkeit and the self-confidence to know it's not important how he gives over his message, but he can take criticism well, these people will grow. A person who can take criticism in a healthy way, these people are going to find the opportunity and the capability to really grow great. It's nebuch people who can't take Musa, because people will never change, and they're born with a very small maturity, and 90 years down the line, or 120 years down the line, they're wearing the same nappies, nebuch, and they've got no teeth again and no hair, and they're just exactly the same position as they started. They've grown nothing. The Pasuk is saying over here, a person can get terrible things taught to them and warned. Shru Sibi Eilech. There was once Rav Ari Levine, Zeichet Tzadik Levrachi, he's a father-in-law of Rav Eliashiv, one of the Gedolim of Yerushalayim, had Avat Yisrael for every single year. It was unbelievable, mamish unbelievable. He once gave a shmooz about Shalom Bayis in Shchunas Knesset near Rechavia, near Shari Chesed, and in the shul was of Issa Zalman also, Rosh Yeshiva of Eitz Chaim. And at the end of the shmooz about Shalom Bayis, Rabbi Issa Zalman came to Rabbi Ari Levine devastated. He said, listen, you gave a whole shmooz now about Shalom Bayis. I know you meant that I'm supposed to improve my Shalom Bayis. Why did you say it in front of everybody? He wasn't even in the shir, he was just listening. I know you meant me. Come, speak to me. Tell me about it. You have to say in front of everyone about me. I know you meant me. Everyone can learn from. No. I know that stupid letter. You meant me. These are people who grew. These are people who grew because it doesn't matter who you hear Musa from. There's one fellow who came to my father's daf yomi shir. And this fellow was a fellow who wasn't really interested in learning that much. He wasn't into learning. And one day he started learning daf yomi. He never missed daf yomi. Every day, 6 o'clock in the morning, he was there with his gemara on time, with his glass of tea, ready to learn. So the magishu said to him, you know, you're a businessman, you enjoy the good things, other good things in life. You know, what happened at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're up with your thing? He said, I was doing Pesach cleaning. I was Pesach cleaning my sforum. So my little daughter of 5 said to me, Daddy, you don't have to Pesach clean the sforum. You know, don't use them. He said the Musa of a 5-year-old child, if my Rosh Hashiva would have given me Musa for 15 hours, wouldn't have been the same as my child that said those few words. But he could have said chutzpah, Nyak. Chutzpah? How dare you speak to your father like that? No, he learned from me, he learned Musa, and he changed his life. Shri'at Libi Eilech. We have to learn. We have to learn how to go take Musa. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, Pek Lamed. Pasuk Lamed Perik Yud Aleph. There's a famous expression that all the Mashgichim say in Yiddish. Ich mein Kenanish, I don't mean anybody. But there was made ich mein em, but those who think I mean them, ich mein em taka, I really mean them. Perik Lamed Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zois. Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zois. Ashanoichi mitzavacha hayoyim. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you today. Le nifleisihi mimcha v'lirachoykehi. It's not too difficult for you. It's not distant for you. Le b'shemayim hi. It's not in shemayim, etc. Le nevayom. It's not across the sea. Kikarayiv eilecha hadova mo'oid b'ficha u'b'vavcha la'saisoi. It's in your heart and your mouth to do it. This is a mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva is easy. Tshuva is easy. Compared to the other options, tshuva is easy. Tshuva is a start. Tshuva is easy. Says the next pasuk. Re'ei nasati lefnecha hayoyim es ha'chaim ve'es ha'toiv ve'es ha'moves ve'es ha'ra. Look, I've given you today es ha'chaim ve'es ha'toiv, chaim and toiv, moves ve'es ha'ra. Ask the Meshech Chochma, why does it say over here chaim and toiv, moves and ra? It says elsewhere, it says in Re'ei, in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chavov, it says Re'ei anoichi noisif nechem hayoim bracha uklala. I'll give you bracha uklala. That's all it says, bracha uklala. Here it says, I've given you today b'sad pnecha hayoim es ha'chaim ves ha'toiv es ha'moves es ha'ra. Much more than bracha uklala, life and death, rather than just blessing and curse.
Where was the other pasuk?
In Re'ei, in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chavov. Says the Meshech Chochma, again, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm being heavy because tis the season. Says the Meshech Chochma, the pasuk in Re'ei that is dealing with bracha and the bracha and klala is before this parasha. It's before the parasha of tshuva. Now that we have the parasha of tshuva, if a person doesn't choose the right way, not only is it bracha v'klala, it's chayim v'amoves. Which means, since the Kodesh Baruch Hu has given a person opportunity to do tshuva, it's no longer a nicer or less nice option to do it. Beforehand, if you follow the ray the correct way, okay, you get bracha. If not, you get klala. Now that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us the opportunity for tshuva, it's not bracha v'klal anymore, it's chayim v'hamoves. And if you don't do tshuva, it's moves. And if you do tshuva, it's chayim. HaKadosh Baruch has given us a gift to such an extent that if we use it, we have chayim. If we don't, it's moves. And this is really a Rambam. The Rambam says in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is all about adding up mitzvahs and averus. The Rambam says, "Adam shavay noisav merubin al chiyosav." A person who has more mitzvahs than averus, and more averus than mitzvahs, miyad hu meis berishoy. Immediately he dies from his wickedness. Shnema al reiv avinecha.
More mitzvah than averus.
More averus than mitzvahs. V'chein so to kol ha'olam kuloi, the whole world. Im hoya avoynei sehem rubim mizchiyei sehem. If the averus more than a mitzvah, miyad heim nishchosim. They immediately get wiped out. Shnema v'yar Hashem ki rabas rasa odo. Says the Rambam, carries on and says, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. U'b'chol shana v'shana shoykin avoynos kol echad v'echad miboye olam im z'chiyosav b'yontav shal Rosh Hashanah. On the yontav Rosh Hashanah every year, the averus and the mitzvahs get counted up. Mi shenimsa tzadik, whoever's found out to be a tzadik, nechtam l'chaim, gets signed for chaim. U'mi shenimsa rosha, whoever's found to be a rosha, nechtam l'misa, is signed for misa. V'habeinani to toilin oisoy ad Yom Kippurim, he hangs till Yom Kippurim, im oso tshuva, nechtam l'chaim. V'im lav, nechtam l'misa. If he does tshuva, he gets signed for chaim, if not, he gets signed for misa. Ask all the mefarshim, why does the Rambam say that if he does tshuva, then he's signed for chayim? If he doesn't do tshuva, he gets signed for misa. What does a beinoni need to be a tzaddik?
One more mitzvah.
The Rambam should just say, if he does extra mitzvahs, doing a seris made tshuva, then he becomes a tzaddik. He puts on tefillin with proper kavanah, he learns extra Torah, he becomes a tzaddik, and therefore he's nechtam l'chayim. And if it doesn't, there's more various necht on the misa. Why is Rambam saying, all the thing to be doing a seris to make tshuva, a tzaddik, yes, do tshuva. Why? So then, on that pshat they say,
once more, faster.
In order to become a tzaddik, you need more various than mitzvahs. That's what Rambam said. More mitzvahs than various. And chas v'shalom, the other way around, you're rasha if you have more various than mitzvahs. If so, the Rambam said, if a person is a Beinoni on Rosh Hashanah, we let him wait until Yom Kippur.
Beinoni is if they're equal.
If they're equal. If he does tshuva, he's okay. If he doesn't, he gets... Why? V'imlav necht on the misa. If he doesn't do tshuva, he gets necht on the misa. Why? Two questions. Number one, he's a Beinoni. If he's a Beinoni, why necht on the misa? Why necht on the misa? He's a Beinoni. He's half off. So give him a mediocre year. Why necht on a misa? Number one. Number two, why dafka tshuva? Why not any mitzvah? Is the teretz that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us opportunity to do tshuva, doing a seretz to make tshuva, the biggest avera a person can possibly do is not to do tshuva. The opportunity to tshuva is so large that no amount of mitzvahs will balance out the amount of averas if you don't do tshuva. And therefore, the only way a person can become equal during a seris to make tshuva, when you're given that extra opportunity to do tshuva, is only if he does tshuva. That's the only way he'll become a tzaddik, is if he does tshuva. If you just remain in the same level doing extra few mitzvahs, the avera of not doing tshuva is so great that he'll still become a rasha. And therefore, that's why a beinoni who does not do tshuva during a seris to make tshuva is a terrible rasha, because no longer brocha of a klala, it's chayim v'hamoves. If a person doesn't do tshuva, it's an avera. HaKadosh Baruch has given us opportunity and you miss it, that's the greatest avera possible.
But how can a person do tshuva during the seris to make tshuva? Meaning that if one of the things is a zivis echet and to be, you know, mekabel not to do it again, that chance is not going to come during the seris to make tshuva.
But the opportunity, which means, okay, I'm not going to how that works. In the future, it works backwards. It means if you have the opportunity again, it can work backwards. Which means that's called to one pshat. Another pshat is that he has tshuva without that. A special hiddur of tshuva is if you reach the same situation again, he doesn't do it. That's a special hiddur of tshuva. But tshuva can be done even without that. The pasuk says, in Perek Lama Pasuk Yutes, the Sovereign finishes off and it says, Haidoisi bochem hayoim es shmaim ves oretz. I give edus to you today, shmaim ve oretz. Hachaim ve hamoves masati lefenecho. I've given you a choice between life and death. Habrocha ve klola. I've given you a choice between brocha and klola. Ubecharto bechaim. And choose life. Leman tichye atu bezarech, in order that you and your children should live. Few questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, you know, I'm not sure what to do. Becharto means bechira. Bechira means a choice. Is there a choice between coal and diamonds? Is there a choice between copper and gold? What's becharto bechayim? Choose. What do you mean choose life? Obviously, there's no even choice bechlal. Number one. Number two, what does it mean? Hachayim v'amoves nasati lefenecho leman tichye ata v'zarecho, in order that you and your children should live. Already said, b'chata b'chayim, you choose life. Of course you'll live. And what's zarecho? Why are your children suddenly come into it? If you live, your children will live. Unless they don't choose what you chose. What's the idea behind that?
Can I ask another question?
Okay. Please.
Why does it say, I'll give before you laugh and laugh? What's it? Chaim ve'et
ha'moves? Chaim ve'ha'moves? Brocha v'aklola. No, that's different possibly beforehand. But chaim ve'ha'moves? Brocha and klola. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The idea behind this is like this. There is somehow a mistaken paradigm in the world that there are two contradictory worlds. There's Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. People who want Olam Hazeh are Rishoyim. People who want Olam Habo are the Tzaddikim. And therefore, a person who really wants Olam Hazeh in its fullest has to be an Olam Hazeh kind of person. Which means a person wants to have a long, healthy, enjoyable life. He's got to look into Olam Hazeh of how to get it. If he wants Olam Hazeh to be comfortable, he's got to look into Olam Hazeh how to enjoy it. A person who discards Olam Hazeh, discards the luxuries, discards the wonderful fresh air of living out in the open and the view and the scenery, and he lives in, you know, some small apartment block in Bnei Barak, this person will have a very short life, but he chose Olam Haba. That's his choice. Good, he made the right choice. He'll have an unsatisfied life, probably not very healthy life.
As long as you're here for, the moment is you. What do you mean? You want a long and healthy life, so you can enjoy it.
But a person has to sleep, you know, 8.5 hours a day, 9 hours a day. A person lives out in the open. You can't live inside a city where all the yeshivas are. You've got to live out in the open and like, really have a healthy, go jogging every day for 2, 3, 4 hours. And have, what's that? That's because it's also other ideas behind that as well. But idea behind it is, okay, let's take about not living outside the city. Okay, you want to take that back, okay. But you need to exercise. You've got to really build up. You've got to have a few hours exercise a day and have the healthiest foods, Baruch Hashem, we do, right? But other yeshivas don't. And to have a good night's sleep. And to really, that's how you're going to have Olam Haba. The emes is, it's sheker. The highest life expectancy in Eretz Yisrael is in
Bnei
Barak.
What is this?
I don't know what it is. It's the highest life expectancy in Eretz Yisrael.
90 something.
More than in Caesarea, Caesarea, more than in Kfar Shemar Yahu, more than in all the beautiful places where people living out in the sprawling ranches. It's sheker. It's sheker because Torah itself is chayim. This is Pshat in the Pasuk. Haidoisi bechem hayoim es shmaim ves amoves. Es shmaim ves oretz. Hachaim ve hamoves nasati lefenecho. I've given you life and death. Nasati lefenecho habrocha ve haklola. I've given to you what you think is you think having a choice between chaim and moves, brocha and klola, which means if I want to have in this world chaim, what you think is chayim, and moves, what you think is moves in this world is sheker. Because b'charta b'chayim, if you choose a real life, leman tichi atav ezarecho, then you will live a proper life. Which means people who are exercising everything else, are drop dead one day, and a person who HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah is chayim, oy dinuvim b'seva, d'shein rananim yiyu. How many people are leading the world at the ages of over 100? Some people, Rav Kadori is over 100, Shachar is over 100, leading the world. How many secular people
enjoying
this? Mamish, that is a life. Mamish, it's phenomenal. I'm sorry. He was leading Klal Yisrael by that age.
He was
107, 108 when he was nifta. He was never seen now. Rav Shach was never seen now. 103, he was still writing letters. 103, he was still writing letters. He was still writing letters. People come into him, he was still writing things in newspapers. 103. Chaim is not what the world says of Chaim. Chaim is what really is. B'chata b'chaim. It's very difficult sometimes to see what real Chaim is. And even if a person sometimes has to give up Olam Hazeh for Olam Haba, one has to understand they're not giving up anything. Bacharta b'chayim means that Olam Haba, not only in this world is life better, but Olam Haba, the real life is Olam Haba, and that's what we're living for. And even if sometimes our life is shorter than this world, that's not called a shortened of life. Our Olam Haba is Nitzlius. And although it's very difficult for a regular person to see that, it's for the Gedolim and the Bali Musa, what is this world? It's nothing. There's a story I saw that I believe is a very, very good story because it's dealing with a regular person. The Maharam Rotenburg. Maharam Rotenburg, one of the early Rishonim, was kidnapped. And he was held for high ransom. And he was held up in a jail, in a prison, under very difficult conditions. He was beaten, he was held in very, very difficult conditions. And from jail, he wrote Chuvas, he managed to get his Chuvas out. There's a whole story behind it, an amazing story. And he heard that the Jewish community around the world are putting money together to redeem him. So he said, it's Osa, it's Osa, it's Osa. is also to redeem a prisoner, kidnap prisoner for more than his worth. Aye, Tosafot says, if it's a god Ladar, it's different. He says, I don't want it. And he was in jail to his last dying day, and he was nifta in jail. And even after he died, Nebuch, they refused to release his body. Until somebody, a very wealthy man, released his body for a large amount of money, and he buried him a long time after that. And in the meantime, the fellow who kidnapped him died, and the son took over, the prince took over, and then the prince was more willing. A whole story, eventually he released the body. And the story goes that the wealthy man who released his body, a week after he released his body, he died. Mamish dropped dead. And people felt there's a big chil Hashem. He did such a miss and he dropped dead. So he came in a dream. This story, by the way, is said by the Chidor. He came to dream to one of his close friends, and he said that the night after the Maram was buried, the Maram came to him in a dream and said to him, thank you very much for taking my body to Kavura. And for this you have two choices. Either give you a very, very large gift in this world, that forever and ever your children will be wealthy, but all those your children will have wealth, will stay in the family. Or you have another choice, that you'll die, but you'll be in my area in Olam Haba. And the Osher said, I prefer to die now, even as a young man, but I have a chelik in your Gan Eden. And the Rosh, the Vilna Gaon used to say on himself, Halavai Abi Zoicha, to come in one of the smallest mechitzas of the Rishonim. Halavai Abi become anywhere near the mechitzas of the Rishonim. And here we have a regular man who is Zoicha, or Bacharta Bachaim, a person who chose life, who is Zoicha to be in the mechitza of the one Rishonim, on the earliest Rishonim. The deep behind this is like this, that when we ask for Zochrein Elachayim, Malachofetz Bachayim, what Chayim are we asking for? What life are we really asking for? Are we asking for life in order that we can enjoy another hamburger? Or are we asking for life that they can drive an expensive car? Are we asking for life that we can have expensive holidays? I mean, what is life? What's Bacharta Bachayim? What is it all about? And therefore, when you ask for Chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you Chayim according to what you ask for. If your Chaim is important to you, that you have big biceps, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you big biceps. You want it? I'll give you Chaim. I'll write you Sefer HaChaim. If Chaim is a real Chaim, Bachata B'Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us understanding and appreciation that Olam Hazeh is only a tool, a prozor to Olam Haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us Cheshek in learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us understanding and Midas Tovus to learn properly. Then that's the Chaim we want. That's Chaim Nitzchim. And therefore, you can ask for Chaim, but the Chaim can still be Moves. The Chaim in Olam Hazeh can ask can still be Moves. Unless you bechar to bechaim, the real Chaim, Chaim Nitzchi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you what you're asking for. And therefore, we should be zeichah and have the clarity to ask for the bechar to bechaim, the real Chaim, the mantichi atu v'zarecho. So, Moshe, what's mantichi atu v'zarecho? Why atu v'zarecho? He said, somebody once came to him and said to him, these Yidden who came over to America, they were all Mois Nefesh for Shabbos. One after another, they'd come to work on Sunday. It was a 7-day week. They'd come to work on Sunday. Friday afternoon, they'd say to the boss, I've got to leave, I'm sorry. And the boss would fire them. And on Sunday again, they'd start again looking for work. And it's during the Depression sometimes. And they had to, every week, they'd get a new job. And these people were so Mois Nefesh for Yiddishkeit. What happened? Why were there all the children, Rahman al-Itzlan? We see so many secular Jews. The children of these examples, these people of serious nefesh for Yiddishkeit. What happened to them? What happened to the children? Why did the children mechalel Shabbos? Why didn't they see the serious nefesh of their parents? Says Rav Moshe, they had serious nefesh, but when he used to come home, he used to come and says, "Ah, it's a shver to sein a Yid. It's hard to be a Yid." They used to do it, but shver to sein a Yid. It's hard to be a Yid. Mesiras Nefesh has to be done in a way that doesn't look difficult. That's very hard. To be Moisa Nefesh and make it look enjoyable as well, that's tough. But in order, you should choose life and be moisen nefesh for choosing life, that's only if you choose life in a way that your children will remain in the same level of kedusha, the same level of Yiddishkeit and commitment, is only if you choose a life in a way that's mantichia, that you're living, that you're enjoying, that your mesiris nefesh is the life itself, that the challenge itself gives you energy. That every challenge in life is not chas v'shalom something to get you down, but it's opportunity for growth. That every trouble HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you is an opportunity to understand Him and appreciate Him in a better way. Ubacharta b'chaim has to be done in a way that when you're choosing the difference between life and death, and the serious nefesh is done in a way that by doing it you shouldn't by any means chas v'shalom let your children drop off at the end.